Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday, until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation. This is Ham Nation, episode number 153 for Wednesday, June 25th, 2014, Field Day Preparations. Hey, good evening, everyone. It's Ham Nation. It's Wednesday night, and it's 8 o'clock Central, at least it is here in my little corner of the world. And we've got most of us here. We don't have Bob. Bob's been dealing with some weather-related issues and some other things. Everything's okay, but just a few wind-related issues over at his place. But we, however, do have the West Coast contingent. That, of course, would be Gordon West of EB6NOY. How are you tonight, Gordon?
We are fine, and we have great weather-related issues. No rain, no water, but we have a high-pressure system. We're hearing the Hawaiian Beacon coming in on 2 meters, and that'll be exciting for field day. And Michigan, by the way, hi, Michigan. They're celebrating for an entire week, Ham Radio Week. That's great. Back to you, Don.
Yeah, a lot of states are doing that, of course, for field day. They all get the proclamations making it Ham Radio Week or Ham Radio Month or whatever. So that's an awesome thing. You get extra points, of course, for field day doing that. And we have George up a few hours north of me in Jackson, Mr. Smoke and Solder himself. How are you tonight, Mississippi George?
I'm doing fine, Mississippi Don, and I'm not I guess I am a few hours north of you if you drive, but actually it's about 8 o'clock here, so. That's about the same time you got. I just got through doing a video from ICOM on the ID880H. It's on the ICOM America website, not the website, but at their YouTube page. You can go there and check it out if you want to know more about that rig. But we've been preparing for field day here, Don, and tonight I'm going to show you how we do it here.
Awesome. I can't wait. Yeah, I'm looking forward to field day. Hopefully, I'll be able to actually do some field day operating this year. We've got a few personal things going on this weekend, but I'm going to try to at least get out and do the Pearl River County Amateur Radio Club here in my home club here in South Mississippi, at least a couple hours, maybe on Saturday. And we've got a lot of stuff going on for field day, and Valerie has got some really neat stuff going on for field day. How are you tonight, Val?
I'm doing great. I'm getting very excited. I'm getting all ready for field day. Can't wait. It's one of my favorite events of the year.
Yeah, mine too. Of course, we've got Amanda. She'll be coming in with the chat room, I do believe, as well a little bit later on. But let's go ahead and kick things off, and let's look at a little bit of field day history that Valerie put together for us.
Field day started in 1933 with a tiny column in QST mentioning an opportunity for portables to go out into the fields and contact as many stations as they could. The object? To test portables for their disaster preparedness, like this one here. The winner from year one was Whiskey 4 Papa Alpha Whiskey with their whopping 62 QSOs over a 27-hour period. As you can see from some of the accommodations, portable had a completely different meaning back then. That first field day over 70 years ago has now become the largest ham radio event of the year. Last year alone, there was over 1.2 million QSOs exchanged.
That is a great look at some field day history. Val, thanks for putting that together for us. And there's going to be a whole lot more. In fact, practically the whole show tonight is going to be about field day. Val's going to be talking about a very important aspect of field day that you absolutely cannot do without, and that is logging. That's coming up a little bit later on. But first, let's see what's going on with the HamFest calendar in Gordon. What all's going on besides field day HamFest-wise, Gordon?
That's it. Strictly field day this coming weekend. And again, be prepared. I want everybody to wear protective lenses for field day. I want everybody to be careful and cut off any of these ties. Look what happens. Your eye has the same density as a banana. And look at, here's a tie. And, well, that didn't work. There we go. That you don't want to have happen. So any of the little plastic ties, nip them off. You don't want them at eye level. And That's what's happening. There's your safety announcement. Back to you, Don.
Yeah, you got to watch those things. Those things will tear your skin up, too, especially the cut in. So if you are going to cut them, make sure you cut them flush with the zip tie, the latch end of the zip tie, because, man, you don't want to get up close and personal and cut yourself up with those things. Well, what's going on short shots-wise, Gordon?
All right, here is field day short shots. Don't blink for more than 5 seconds. So, Brian, let's go ahead and roll them. We encourage all of you to have a good field day. Sign right up front so we can attract folks. Make a decision. Will your antennas be on the outside all close to each other, or are you going to do like I suggest, you be in the middle and put those antennas way far away? Get a big antenna. This will make contacts, but you'll have to work at it. There's Don getting ready. Put a big beam up, and that way you'll have a great signal. Again, eye protection, head protection, sun protection. Beam antennas will be the king at field day. And you can even space them pretty close together if they're on different bands without too much interaction. Get them up about 20 or 30 feet. Do it carefully. Guy them well. And if you're going to do wire antennas, find a local tree. We tested some of the broadband wire antennas. We made a discovery that a regular dipole performs a little better than the 50-ohm always resonant dipole antenna. This one looks good on the meter, but doesn't put out near as well as what we have radio waves with the off-center fed. Look at that, 80 meters, 40, 30, 20, 15, and 10 meters with the off-center fed Wyndham. Just keep that white 4-to-1 ballon away from the metal mast. And here we are, a field day station working the Wyndham, and it works just great. Again, 45 degrees on each side, and your wire antenna will work super. The higher up you can get the feed point, the better signal you're going to have. Now, if you're doing a beam antenna, do your measurements well ahead of time and write down those measurements. So in case something gets tweaked out there at field day, you can go back to it. And you could spread it out on the ground and bust your rear, but make sure that you ahead of time have all the elements marked. Here's what Chip does. He goes ahead, Orange County Club, and puts little marks on them. Look what they do. They've got sawhorses just for field day. So you're not doing this business and killing your back, but rather sawhorses. So you get it up there at belt level to work on it. A good ballon, you can make a ballon yourself out of winding coax cable nice and neat, or you got a ballon that's already been pre-made, double check that it's working properly, and make sure that all connections are nice and tight on your antennas. There's a little ballon that Chip has brewed up. We checked it out on, and you should have one, the SWR analyzer, and double check that those traps, we've talked about this before, nice and tight. All right, load it into your dune buggy, head out for field day, and make sure you've got some guy lines, and I like colored lines, so I know which one goes where. And looks like almost everybody here has protective lenses on. Now, look at this. This is neat. Orange County Amateur Radio Club. They've got it all assembled, and with about four people, you can go ahead and raise this tower, and they've got some guy lines pulling it up as well, and bingo, when they crank it up, everything is standing tall and safe. Look at that, field day, nice and trim, huh? A little three-element beam. Here we are putting up the 6-meter beam from Inova antenna, now Force 12. Yeah, we're doing it on the ground. We should really do it up on a sawhorse. We've got it on the back of the van. We're not taking the van this time. We're going to be working out of the station wagon just to be more like in the field. And this is a telescopic flagpole. We put it up just a couple of rungs, and that's the feed point, the Force 12 Innova antenna, innovative feed point. And bango, 6 meters. I hope you open up, and you know there are web pages that you can go to look up different band conditions. And there's Dr. Vern with super antennas. He's got his three-element beam. We'll have one of those up there as well. Chip home brews his antenna. Copper's a great conductor. And there we are down at or out in the desert for field day. And even if the antenna elements aren't absolutely flat to each other, you're still okay. Look at that, a little 12-volt motor rotating Vern's antenna. A little bit more than a 12-volt motor to turn this monster on the East Coast. Kids, got to get kids involved. Satellite pass on Saturday. And it's also not only a satellite pass, but the space station will be squawking. So I hope you've got a little three-element beam ready to work the space station. Have those band charts out so you know exactly where your privileges are. Earphones, noise canceling. These are from Sea Crane. They do a good job. And again, there's Clint Bradford working a satellite. And for those of you that want to go high band, that's 10 gigahertz. You got to have food. There's his dish antenna for 10 gigahertz. And yeah, speed check by radar. 10 gigs is on the radar X-band. And there we go. Field day down at the beach. A modest little antenna setup. We'll easily work it. Good headset. That's the Heil headset. Logging. Need some shade for that. Simple little antenna setup. We'll put this field day operator on UHF big time. Make sure you can see the display. We're taking the ICOM 9100. This is not that ICOM, but the one you see here at the shack, and it has a wonderful display seen in the daylight. You could do an automatic antenna tuner, but I say go for a tuned antenna. There's a long wire automatic antenna tuner inside. But look at these. All of these antennas are pre-tuned themselves with no tuner involved. But if you do need some bandpass filters, Force 12 has some really big ones. They've got some nice one. You can also do some stop band. And be careful. Watch your coax runs, especially if they're heavy coax like this, because you never know what's going to happen early in the morning. Oh, no, don't trip on the coax. Uh-oh. Well, yeah, those things happen. So no accidents like this on field day morning. 12 volts. A lot of folks brought their little generators and their gelled 12-volt batteries. Be safe. Never have the battery inside your sleeping compartment. A good voltmeter. There's analog. There's digital with HamSource's EasyGate. And here's those new little $10 digital meters. I love them. They work out well and they're not noisy. Watch the weather. Incoming. A lot of weather programs on the internet, on smartphones. This doesn't look good. But look at that field day operator in green under the plastic. Continues to operate. Yep, field day will have those bad moments. A little failure here, a little fiberglass failure here. But you got to continue operating. Just know that stuff happens. And there's another fiberglass failure. Oh, that antenna did well, but the mast did not fare well in the 100-mile-per-hour wind. Look at that military aluminum tubing, a perfect bend. So we hope that your field day, all of you, is going to be safe. Your beam antennas stay up, however you've got them up. Watch out for fire danger, especially out here in California. Get those headsets all tuned in and turned on, but have outside audio so folks looking over your shoulder can hear audio coming in from the DX stations as well. Plenty of ferrites because there'll be plenty of RF. And again, be ready for great DX on almost any of the bands because the sun has been going crazy. So we encourage you all to have a wonderful field day weekend. Use your little meter to check out, make sure your coax cables are okay at both ends. What I do is I attach the meter to one side, go to R times the very highest scale, and drop a little bit of resistance in there. And by putting my thumb over it, you can see that we've now metered out a coax cable connection and it's okay. And bring plenty of bug eradicators. In fact, WD9HOT Leroy says, if you take a whole bunch of Michael, the 40-meter net controls, garlic tablets, garlic will drive away those mosquitoes and bugs that always seem to land on you right when you're ready to make that big DX contest. I will hear all of you on the air field day this weekend. Be there or be square. All right, Don, back to you.
Something else that garlic will do is it'll tend to keep your logger, the person who's helping you log, away from you. At least it'll keep him upwind. Hey, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the ISS and the satellite stuff. I'm getting my elk antenna ready. I'm making sure I've got all the elements. So look, color-coded. Makes it easy to put that thing together. You can see the color codes on the boom. Let's see, where is it? I'm looking at it this way. There's a white band for that one. There's a yellow band for this one, and a green band for that one, and a red band for that one, and that corresponds to the color coding on the elements here. So I'm getting all ready for space stuff this weekend. Try to make my ISS contact. I've never done that. But something else going on, and thank you, Gordon. Appreciate that. I got a word from DX Engineering. Something else going on now besides Field Day, and that is the World Radio Team Championship. They're getting underway in about a week. Can you believe it's here already? And in addition to offering technical support to the WRTC committee, DX Engineering also provides key bits of gear, several very key bits of gear, to maximize the performance of all the competing stations. And guess what? You can get the very same stuff right now from DX Engineering. The star of WRTC 2014, undoubtedly the TX38 antenna from 2X Arrays. It is the official tri-band antenna of the competition, and you can only find it at DX Engineering. It's a tri-band 8-element Yagi, gives you exceptional wide SWR bandwidth on the 20, 15, and 10-meter bands, excellent gain front to rear pattern performance, and it's only about 45 pounds, carries a 7-square-foot wind load, and it can survive 100-mile-an-hour winds. It's good stuff. 14.5-foot boom length, turning radius of about 20 feet. It's strong enough for permanent installations, yet it's light enough for Field Day or MCOM setups, too. Also, the WRTC 2014 stations will use Rhone Towers, and DX Engineering is an authorized Rhone distributor, which means you get access to the entire Rhone line, including the 45G, 55G, and the 25G towers. They also carry Rhone accessories like guying hardware, work platforms, anchor rods, thrust bearings, everything you need to get your tower up. And even if you're ordering a big tower section, DX Engineering will work with you to arrange hassle-free shipping and delivery. No guesswork, additional charges. DX Engineering takes care of everything. And they're going to use ICOM radios at WRTC 2014, and DX Engineering carries almost every ICOM radio there is, including the brand-new 7100 digital wide-coverage transceiver. That's the HFD star, that 7100. From microphones and belt clips to coffee mugs, T-shirts, Shack accessories, everything you need, you can get it at DX Engineering, your ICOM fix. DX Engineering proud to support such an important competition. We're all going to be watching WRTC 2014 closely to see how everyone performs. Best of luck to every one of the 59 competing teams at WRTC 2014. And if you want to grab any of this gear, you get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern. If it's in stock, DX Engineering will throw it on a truck. It'll head your way tonight. With proven, that includes field day stuff. If you need field day stuff in, you get your order in and you'll have it in time. Proven products, expert advice, the fastest shipping in the industry, DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Get your catalog or shop online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at dxengineering.com/hamnation. dxengineering.com/hamnation. DX Engineering, thank you for your support of Ham Nation. We do appreciate it. Now let's see what Valerie's got going on. Back to the field day thing. And logging, something very important. You got to log because you want to turn those logs in for your points. Val, tell us about logging.
Absolutely. And first of all, I need to get me a dune buggy for field day. I need one of those, Gordo. I did a little video here on how to use N1MM. Not because there's a lot of logging softwares out there, but this seems to be the most popular one I've noticed when I've gone around to different field day sites. So, Brian, if you would, this is just going to tell you a little bit of the ins and outs and how to use N1MM, just the basic logging instructions. So, Brian, if you could go ahead and roll that.
Talk to you guys today about N1MM basics, because that's very popular at some field day sites. Here's a list of other field day software along with N1MM in case you want to download that. Now, if you've installed N1MM on your system, you're going to want to go ahead and pull that up. And the first thing you're going to want to do is you're going to want to create a new database. Now, I'm going to name mine NV9L, hit enter. And now you're going to want to open up a new log in that database. And this is where you get to drop down and pick from what contest you want or event you want. Look at them all there. Field day in here is referred to as FD in N1MM. So you're going to want to hit FD. And I'm a single op. I'm going to do all bands. You can only do low, you cannot do high power as a log, a regular log. If you become a check log, you can do that. Like the Whiskey One Alpha Whiskey portable stations are all going to be high power, but they're not able to compete, so they will be a check log. Pick your mode. I like to do sideband only. And I'm going to be a portable station operating in my backyard. I'm going to be non-assisted. I'm going to only have one transmitter, so I'm going to be a One Alpha in Wisconsin. And I'm going to be operating. I'm going to hit OK. And we are set up now. Now, the Windows option at the top is what's going to let you decide what you're going to put on your screen that you get to view. Obviously, your log, you're going to want that on your screen. And that's that right there. Another thing I like to have visible on my screen is the check window. The check window is what's referred to as super check or super partial or partial check. It's when you start to enter a call sign, it's going to give you a list of all the known active call signs that have those letters and characters in it. So if I start, say I hear November Victor 9 and I cannot make out that last letter, I can start typing November Victor 9 and it's going to list all the active November Victor 9s that are out there. Now, you cannot rely on this solely, but it will help you if you can kind of make out that last letter. It sounded like a Yankee, but you weren't sure. This could be your, you know, proof, and you could just say, is it November Victor 9 Yankee? And then they say, yes, it is, and so that'll help. So now say you weren't sure. If you know, if he says it's Yankee, then you can just double-click that, and it puts it right in there for you. And then you're going to want to put in the class. Let's see, he's also a One Alpha, and he's in Wisconsin. Hit Enter. And then next call you hear is K3LR, and it'll confirm over here that it's a good call, although you don't have to rely on this. This is just an aid and not gospel. He's an 8 alpha, say, and you heard Pennsylvania, and you start to enter Pennsylvania, but wait. There is no Pennsylvania. That's not a valid section. Do you want to log it anyway? You're going to hit no. Now, if you want and you have a and you want to move along fast, you can just note that you need to fix that, but might as well fix it on the fly. As you get to do field day, you're going to learn all these sections and classes, and I'm going to put the screen up at the end of all the different classes and sections if you want to copy that or print that off. But he's in Western PA, and hit Enter, and it did take that. Now all of a sudden, let's enter another call, and you entered it, and you put 1 Alpha Illinois, and oops, it's not WBN9Z. That's not a valid call. So if you double-click, you've already entered it. If you double-click it, it's going to put it in the box, and you can change any one of these three components here. So we want to change them just WB9Z and hit Enter, and then the screen is all white again and ready for you to enter. Now, say you look down here and you realize, uh-oh, they're all on 20 meters, and I'm on 40 meters. You're going to want to change all of those. So if you double-click on that one, it's only going to let you change these three, but you want to change this. So the best way to do that is to edit the current contact, and this gives you the full detail of everything with that contact, including date and time. So you want to change him to 7225, hit your tab button, it brings you to the next field. And obviously it's lower sideband. And rather than hit update and then go to the next one, you can just hit the next arrow, save the data, and it takes you right to the next call. And the last one, do the same thing. Now, the only problem is, we're going to update that one because that's the last one. Now, they're all fixed here. Now, to get this white screen again, if you just hit escape, that's going to give you your white screen again. You can make sure they're all fixed here. Lower sideband, 40 meters, good. But look, it's still got that 20 meters up there. You want to change that, and your radio is not integrated with your laptop. So the way to change that is to just enter a frequency of 40 meters. Doesn't matter where it is.
It's going to try and guess if it's CW or lower sideband based on the frequency you entered. But if you enter 7225, look at that. It puts lower sideband in there for you automatically. So going forward, everybody will be correct for lower sideband. Okay, my shift's up. I'm done. And now Bob Heil's going to take my seat. So no longer NV9L will be logging these contacts. Next is going to be Bob Heil. So what we're going to want to do is change operators behind the scenes. So see this NV9L, we want to change who that is now. And the way to do that is just put the letter op on. It's a new operator coming on. Hit enter, and this little screen pops up. And we'll put in K9EID. Hit enter, and now Bob Heil's at the helm. So now let's put in a call sign. Enter. And there you can see Bob took that call. So that way, at the end of the contest, you can see how many logs everybody's done. Another screen I like to bring up here on in the window thing is the info screen. This is when you hear people referred to as their rate meter or trying to get the rate up. This is what that is. It's going to record, it's going to track as you're entering call signs here, how many you're averaging in the last 10 QSOs, the last 100 QSOs, the last 2 minutes, and then the last hour. And as you go, this whole area, you just see a little bit of blue here. This is all going to fill in, hopefully, if you're getting a really fast meter going. This down here is also a nice way, say your laptops are all linked together. This is a way you can communicate with each other down at the bottom here. Send little notes back and forth. Need water, please, or something like that. I have to go to the bathroom. So that'll send notes to everybody else who's in the network if you're networking your N1MM. Now, I know N1MM can be is very rich in its all the things it has to offer, and with that it can be a little scary, but as you can see here, it's not too bad. Say you start to enter a call and you realize it's wrong, and halfway through it, rather than have to and all of a sudden he disappears, say, and you can't finish that QSO, rather than just hit the minus like that, you can just do the Alt and the W key, and there it goes away all at once in one quick keystroke. Contest is over. You need to send in a Cabrillo file to the ARRL, and here's the way to do that. You hit the File, Generate Cabrillo File. It's going to confirm that you were sending the exchange of 1 Alpha Wisconsin. You hit OK, and it's going to confirm that I was multi-op, non-assisted, you know, all that. You're going to just confirm all that. Hit yes, save it as NV9L, and there it is. Now, if you notice anything's wrong up here, you can just change it up here on the fly, you know. And there you go. And save. And that's what you would turn in to the contest robot. And they'll let you know if anything's wrong, and you just fix it and you send it back. And there you go. That's how you use N1MM. And here's that list I promised you of the ARRL field day territory abbreviations. It looks intimidating, but you'll have it all down within an hour of operating. This is the power levels you're going to hear, along with a number, which is going to tell you how many HF stations that operation is running. But look at there, home using commercial power, letter D. You can do this right from your home, although I recommend going to a park. And coming up next Tuesday through Sunday is the 13 Colony special event. That's always a big favorite. So get out there and work all those colonies, and you can get some pretty cool QSL cards. And, you know, I wanted to say, too, when it showed battery power on there, it refers to solar generator, or I've even been on a field day site where you had to pedal a bike to operate the equipment, to give power to the equipment. So that was kind of cool. So any kind of non-commercial power is considered in those battery levels, alpha or bravo. And anybody who just got their license or is thinking of getting their license or is watching us on Ham Nation and kind of curious about this, if you Google ARRL Field Day Locator, you're going to be able to find a field day near you, probably within 5 minutes of your house, because they're everywhere. We're invading every park in America this weekend. So get out there and check it out. They want you to come. Everybody wants you to come to their site, if not just for the camaraderie and the food. So go check it out. I also did a little quick video on just some little tips and tricks once you got the logging down. So if you want to go ahead with that one, Brian.
Well, today I thought I'd bring my video to you from WB9Z's shack. It's pretty darn cool, and that's why I operate a lot of my contests from here. So now you figured out which software you're going to want to use for N1MM. Next thing you're going to want to do is make sure that your computer or your laptop is synced to the universal standard time. And the best way I find to do that is to use the atomic clock that's based out of the National Institutes of Standards and Technologies in Fort Collins, Colorado. They're actually on a bunch of different bands, but my favorite band to pull them in on is 30 meters. Even though I don't even have a 30 meter antenna, doesn't matter what time of day or what time of year it is, signal comes in loud and strong all the time. So make sure you set your frequency to 10.000, easy to remember. Put it to the AM mode, and they're going to tell you at the top of every minute, there's the beep that we just hit the top of the minute, and then you're going to hear it ticking throughout. They're also going to tell you once per hour the solar activity that's going on. So this is actually a good frequency to remember all the time. And so now you can sync your computer with the Universal Standard Time. So you're good to go there. Next thing you're going to want to do
18 hours
is, there we go,
coordinated Universal Time.
See? And that's on a tri-bander right there. So you don't need a 30-meter antenna for that signal. You're also going to want to make sure you have a pad of paper and a pencil with you at all times, because inevitably, especially during field day, something goes wrong. You may get a call sign wrong or their section wrong. You can come back later and correct that if you leave notes. I like to do that, and then like 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning when things are slow, I'll go in and correct my errors. Also, it's good to have, because should your laptop or computer go down, you can keep logging away and not skip a beat while somebody fixes your laptop or computer. And you're also going to want to make sure that you stay hydrated and keep your vocal cords good. The best way to do that, obviously, is with water and cough drops. I always like to have a water bottle with me with a lid on it, because that way, in case it spills, you're not going to damage the radio, the laptop, or your paper logs or your notes. So always a good idea to have that with you. And a battery-operated fan, especially for you guys down south. You got to have some brutal field days down there. I like this fan because it also has a light. And what's good about a battery-operated fan, you do not have to worry about anything interfering with your radio while you're operating. And that's it for now for my little tricks for field day. I'll see you guys on the air or in 2 weeks.
And sorry, I hogged all the time, guys, but that's all I have for now. Lot of stuff for field day. It's getting very exciting, and I really hope everybody gets out there and checks out a field day site. And even if you're microphone shy, just get down there and make 1 or 2 QSOs. This is the weekend to do it when everybody's very patient and wants to make that contact with you. So back over to you guys.
George, I got my antenna to go. Thank you, Val. I got my antenna. Am I polarizing it right? Can you hear me?
I can't hear you here yet, Don. Turn it the other direction.
Oh, well, here's why. There's no coax on it. That's why you can't hear me.
It's probably it. All your RF's leaking on the ground.
I'm going to need to solder something on. I'm going to need to solder a PL plug. Can you help me with that? Let's get into some smoke and solder, shall we?
I actually melted a little solder for this field day. We're not going to see that today, though, but probably in a couple of weeks we're going to look at that project, because I wanted to show you this week how we prepare for field day here. You know, last year I was at Johnson Space Center for field day, visiting their site over there. And the year before that, we were building the new studio here, so I didn't get to work field day. But 3 years ago, Tommy and Jim and I went out in the woods, way out in the country off the grid, and did field day and had a blast. And we're kind of going to do that again this year. This year it'll be Tommy, Wayne, our partner over at Amateur Logic, our official part-time cameraman, which we never use a cameraman except when Wayne's around. He'll be with us and myself, and we're looking forward to having a big time. We're going back out to essentially the same place. We'll be within, 100 yards of where we were last year or 3 years ago. But, you know, you kind of got to plan in advance what you're going to need for field day. That's what I wanted to look at today. When we did this 3 years ago, we set up a wiki and used that so that each of us could go look at the wiki and add things and check off things that we were going to bring, and we could do it from wherever we were. Well, this year we kind of did the same thing, except we used a Google Doc. So let's take a look at our field day stuff. Here's our list of stuff. I created this using a spreadsheet in Google Docs, and we've just put a title on it here as to what it is. And we'll save this doc, and next year we'll have it to look back, and maybe we'll amend it some between now and then. But basically, we're carrying some radios. We're carrying an IC7000, an IC7200, an FT857D, and a TS450S, and maybe a handy talkie for a 2-meter repeater talk-in. Now, me and Tommy and Wayne are setting all of this up. We might have others attend, but we're primarily the ones getting things together for this. So we put an X under our name as to who's bringing what. And we see both Tommy and I are bringing FT-857Ds. And I'm also bringing a TS-450S. My two rigs here are backups that are on the shelf that never get used. So field day is a perfect opportunity to take those out and exercise them a little bit. Of course, we won't have all these radios set up and going at once. We'll just swap them in and out as we like. We'll need power supplies, of course, and I'm taking a little MFJ 30 amp. We're also carrying an Astron 12 amp, and this will probably be used for a rig that we'll be running PSK 31 on, since we won't need quite as much current on that one. Tommy's bringing an MFJ 30 amp, and he's bringing his solar panels and a 12 ampere hour battery for some QRP action. And I'm going to throw a UPS in as well. Since we will have computers there for logging, we might as well have them on a UPS, so if the generator kind of burps, it won't be a big deal. Now, you notice Wayne hasn't filled in anything yet. We're not sure exactly what he's bringing, but we have shared this dock with him, so he'll have access to it as well. I'm bringing a tuner here. It's an LDG-100 auto tuner that I'll use with some of the wire antennas. Tommy is not bringing a tuner or has not listed it yet. Neither has Wayne. For antennas, I'm going to bring a mystery antenna, and we're going to try to get that up, and that'll allow us to work 80 meters and some of the higher bands. Tommy's going to bring the MFJ Big Ears with a tripod, and he won't need a tuner for that since you can tune the antenna itself. And I've got a question mark here by a Butternut Vertical. I bought this used from Jim several years ago, and he had bought it used. I have not used it yet. I'm thinking I might take that out and use it for 20 meters this time around. And we're also carrying an MFJ 40-meter off-center fed dipole. Now, Wayne's probably going to bring some antennas as well. We're not sure exactly what, and we won't need that many antennas, but at least we'll have some to choose from. Coax, it looks like we're lacking a little bit in now. I'm going to carry 100 foot of RG-213 and another piece that's 35 foot long. Tommy's bringing 70 foot of RG-8X, and I know Wayne's got a lot of coax. Not sure what he's going to bring. We're going to need some rope to hang those wire antennas with, and we're just going to bring some nylon trot line for that, since this will be a temporary installation just for field day, so that rope should be plenty good. We don't have a potato gun this year, so we're going to use a slingshot and some fishing line to get our wire antennas up in the tree. And I put a question mark here. I don't own a fishing reel. I'm hoping Tommy or Wayne will check that off there because it makes it a little easier with the slingshot. I'll use a lead weight, and we'll just tie the fishing line to the end of it. Once we've got that in the tree, we'll pull up the trot line. Now, for generators, we're going to try to run emergency power here and not rely on commercial power. So I've got a 5,000-watt Coleman generator that just got a brand-new carburetor, so it should be good to go.
Uh-oh.
And I just put 5 gallons of pure gasoline in it today, no ethanol. And I also got another 5 gallons of pure gasoline that we'll bring in a jug. And, of course, we're going to need some extension cords and some power strips to go with this as well. For tents, we're going to bring a screened-in canopy because we're going to be out in the country and the mosquitoes could be bad. Tommy says he thinks he has a tarp for flooring in it, and I'm going to bring a tarp or two just in case. We have another category here called Other, just to bring stuff that didn't fit into the other categories. I'm going to bring a cot to sleep on. Tommy and I are both bringing chairs. Tommy's going to bring a table, so we're going to need one more table at least. We've got tarp listed twice here, so I can probably remove this line right here. I'm going to bring some clamp-on 110-volt lights just to have some lighting around the site. For video, Tommy's going to bring a softbox and a stand. We'll also bring a ground rod, and he has not checked that off, but I did check with him since he's been on the document here, and he does have one. And I'll bring some ground wire for us to use with that. And if you got one, you might as well bring your antenna analyzer. It could help make those antenna setups go a little quicker. And I might bring my Megger. That's a good instrument for checking the breakdown resistance of your cables. Of course, this is going to be out in the country in Mississippi, and it's hot. So we're going to bring some fans. I'm going to bring one or two. Tommy's going to bring another one. And just in case we have to go way back in the woods, I'm going to bring an electric chainsaw, and looks like we're both going to bring battery-powered weed eaters, a handsaw in case we need that, some pruning shears to get branches and any small trees that might be growing up in the area. Of course, we need some off-insect repellent, and I'm going to bring a couple pair of headphones here so that we don't have so many radios blasting out at once that no one can think. And I might bring my AR drone and its batteries. You know, that's one of those little quadcopters with the camera on it, and it could be handy for just getting some video footage of where we're at. And for computers, we're going to use laptops with the Squirrel Logger program. So far, Tommy and I have checked off that we'll be bringing those. We'll use a wireless router to network these together, and Tommy's going to bring some digital mode software and interface so that we can work PSK31 and some of the other digital modes if we want to. And then I've got one more section down here for notes. I need to program the voice keyer in the IC7000. That'll save my voice a little bit during field day. And I might bring an external mic and a foot switch. Haven't made up my mind on that. We've got so many items on here, I just may not get around to that. But here you go. This is how we plan our field day. We just put it in this Google Doc here. All of us can look at it and edit it as need be so that when we get on site, there's a much better chance that we're going to have what we need.
Oh, man.
Well, there you go. That's our planning for field day. I didn't have one item on there that I actually ended up building, and that's an external keypad for my IC7000 that will key the voice memories in it. So instead of me sitting there saying CQ field day in my call sign 100 or 1,000 times and wearing my voice out, I can just press a button there and let the radio say it for me. So that'll save us a little time too, and I can keep my hand on the keyboard to type in those log entries. We're going to use the Squirrel Logger program. It's a lot easier than the N1MM that Val showed us. It's not quite as comprehensive in the things that it does, but it does give you the basic field day log format there without much work. We probably left some things out on that list, but we've got a few days yet to get everything together and go over it good. I've got most of my stuff packed up here, and we're really looking forward to big field day this year. We'll be letting you know more about that. We'll be posting over on the Facebook and Google Plus Amateur Logic pages where we're going to be, and probably be tweeting As we change frequencies, if you follow at Amateur Logic, you can find out where we are. That's if we've even got internet access out there. We don't know yet that we'll have good enough internet access. This is way back in the country, but really looking forward to a great field day this year and hope that the weather will kind of hold off a little bit. Maybe we'll get a couple of days without rain there. Well, last week I asked a question. I said there's condenser and dynamic, and what are the types of hand mics? Well, I was looking for a particular answer, although I knew there could be more than one. And I had a lot of answers on this one. Some folks said carbon, crystal, electrete. Well, electrete's about the same thing as a condenser mic. Ribbons and piezos. Well, I'm sure they probably made some carbon hand mics at some point. I haven't seen any. Crystals, yeah, there's probably some of those too. Ribbon hand mics, no, I haven't seen any, but RCA probably had some at one time. And piezos, yeah, there's probably some of those around. But I was looking for one a little bit more typical, although any of those could have won. I did get a winner here, though, and this was KB9ZJ, Dwayne Householder. And he said another type of mic is a ceramic, and that's correct, Dwayne. So we're going to give you this Howell HMM hand mic, a great dynamic hand mic that doesn't sound like a hand mic. I used it last week on the show, so you could hear what it sounded like. It's got a little better response to it, not quite as hollow sounding as a traditional hand mic. So congratulations on that. We got another contest for next week. What we're going to give away here is a nice soldering station, and this comes courtesy of a friend of the show you've probably seen on here before, JDN0IRS in Kansas City, Missouri. And what he has sent me to give away here, if I can move out of the way, is a HACO soldering station. This is FX888D soldering station. He's thrown in some extra tips. He's also thrown in some solder, a pair of wire tips or wire clippers here. And this is the real thing, guys. This is not that lead-free junk that you see around. This is Kester leaded solder here and a great soldering station. This thing's probably valued around $170. So appreciate that, JD. That's going to make someone a really nice prize next week. And if you'd like to win it, Then answer this for me. For field day, Tommy Wayne and I will be operating three transmitters, and we'll be outdoors, and we'll be on generator power. We're not a club, so what will our class be? If you think you know the answer to that, then send your answer to me at hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could win this great HACO soldering station here, courtesy of our friend J.D., N0IRS. And right now, I believe it's time for a little bit of news.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1923, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, June 25th, 2014. Some changes to a highly restrictive, distracted driving law enacted by a northern Arizona county may soon see some revisions favorable to amateur radio.
Less than 2 months after passing an ordinance that bans the use of all non-essential two-way radios while driving, the Board of Supervisors for Coconino County, Arizona, is eyeing changes that would once again make mobile ham and CB radio use legal. The Coconino County Board of Supervisors is slated to meet to discuss changes to the ordinance that might remove a number of restrictions against two-way radio use while driving. Among these would be a revision to Section 3 that deals with exemptions. If the statute is changed, it would delete the words, quote, and is operating an amateur radio under the direction of authorized first responders in the event of an emergency, unquote. The section would then mean a driver who holds a valid amateur radio operator license or any license issued by the Federal Communications Commission would be exempted. The change could also exempt those who use two-way radios in their business and users of 11-meter citizens band radio. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bruce Tennant, K6PZW in Los Angeles.
Some good publicity for amateur radio from a Florida television station. Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, has that story.
Hands involved in emergency communications in Sun City Center, Florida, recently received some high praise from Tampa Television's WTSP News. This in a feature story by reporter Mark Rivera, who took a look at the role played by radio amateurs in emergency situations such as hurricanes and the like. Among those interviewed by Rivera was Sun City Center Amateur Radio Club President Rick Soshin, N1OV. Soshin told WTSP viewers that it gives one a great deal of satisfaction when you can provide life-saving services to somebody. His words were echoed by Preston Cook, who is the Hillsborough County Emergency Manager. He said that ham radio operators provide a vital service in so many different areas in his county during a major response. Cook added, "That's the reason ham radio operators have a seat at the table in its emergency operations center." All in all, a very nice endorsement of ham radio in first response situations.
In ham radio space-related news, word that Litawanikasat 1 will now be known as Litawanikasat Oscar 78, or LO 78 for short.
The announcement of the Oscar number designation was made by Oscar number administrator Bill Tynan, W3XO, who announced that Litwanica Sat 1 has met all of the requirements for such a designation. Meanwhile, Litwanica Sat 1 controllers have announced activation of the satellite's FM transponder. A general rule to find out if the transponder is working at any given moment is simply to monitor the beacon frequency on 437.275 MHz. If you can hear it, that means that the transponder is off. If you cannot hear it, then the transponder is on and listening on its uplink at 145.950 MHz for a signal with 67 Hz access tone. The downlink frequency is approximately 435.1755 MHz, plus or minus 10 kHz Doppler shift.
And finally this week, there will be no Young Ham of the Year Award presented in 2014. This according to a statement issued by Mark Abramovich, NT3V, who is chairman of the committee that judges the program. Skeeter Nash has that statement.
The statement reads as follows. The Young Ham of the Year Award Judging Committee's decision is to defer making an award this year due to the low number of nominees. This does not in any way reflect on the quality of the nominees we did receive or on their nominators. It's simply the decision of the judges that more nominations and documentation would be needed to make a fair determination of the Young Ham of the Year. Therefore, it's hoped that nominators will begin thinking about 2015 and potential candidates for such a prestigious award. Right now, the plan is to open nominations again in February of 2015.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news brought to you each and every week for over 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. And there's a look at your Amateur Radio Newsline news for this week. Some good stuff. And we're going to get into the chat room with Amanda and see what's going on here in just a few minutes. But first, we have a word from ICOM.
ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to offer ham radio operators some incredible savings. You can get a great deal on a D-Star repeater direct from ICOM and help expand D-Star across North America. For a limited time, ICOM is offering a buy direct D-Star promotion for U.S. and Canadian residents. Purchase a D-Star repeater through the D-Star infrastructure program. The growth of D-Star over the past 4 years has been incredible with the release of the ID-51A and the IC-7100. More people are getting on the air with this incredible mode. In response to the request to make the infrastructure more affordable, ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to expand the number of repeaters. Hurry! This buy direct promotion is good for a limited time. Download the mail order form, fill it out, and send it in by mail, fax, or email today. Find out what all the D-Star fun is about. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's buy direct program.
And you can tune in to win after each episode of Ham Nation by going to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation and registering. You can win some great prizes out of ICOMSwagStore.com. And you'll also be registered in each week's drawing for that and the monthly drawing for a grand prize. And for June, the grand prize is going to be the ID880H, a great entry-level D-Star rig. It's the one that I use, and we just put out a video on that. It's on the ICOM America YouTube page, or you can go to this link right here if you're watching the video, and check it out. Learn more about the ID880H, a great little rig to get into D-Star. It's 50 watts on VHF and on UHF, so makes a great analog radio as well. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this show and after each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. And now I guess it's time for some chat room action. Amanda, are you with us?
I am here, and I am all set up for field day, you guys. I'm so excited. And guess what I am acting as during field day? I am going to be the public relations, public information officer for our club. I have done a lot of work in sending out a lot of press releases this last week and inviting a lot of people. So I get to entertain everyone and show them around to each station. And this is a very important job, you guys. So make sure you consider that when you set your clubs up, to make sure someone is there that's not going to have a brat hanging out of their mouth that can walk around and say hello to all the guests that come up. And let me take off my sunglasses because it's kind of hard for me to see my computer screen. But anyhow, I'm psyched for field day. Let's get started here. First, I'd like to give congratulations to KF6BME and N4KCE. That's Ryan and Keith. They both upgraded to Extra this last weekend. So congrats to you. And let's see. George, I'm going to send this one to you. KB8FQJ, Steve, he asks, what is the busiest band on field day?
Busiest band. I would say probably two busiest, and that's going to be 20 and 40 meters. Probably some of the others as well. 80 meters, I'm going to put up an antenna for it, but if it's like last time, we didn't have much luck there because this time of year, you know, there's so much lightning, static, and all on 80 meters that it's difficult. And plus, you know, it's really only very good at night. So
I'd have to agree, though. I think 20 probably. The 20 is the busiest that we've ever done.
Well, our field day group also makes the most QSOs on 20, and then 40, I think, is our a very close second.
Okay. I like 20 myself, but it's hard to find your own frequency, let me tell you. All right. Let's see. What else do we have? So, Val, since you're still here, let me ask you. First, with N1MM, does it work with Wi-Fi networking? And if not, is there another better logging solution for that?
You know, to be honest with you, I've never tried to network it by a Wi-Fi, but I know the Whiskey One Alpha Whiskey Portable 9 stations that are doing Illinois right now are using N1MM, and they have hooked up some kind of networking system because they have over 50 stations throughout the state operating. So it's working just fine for them, even though it just started yesterday. But so I would say N1MM should do the trick for you, but I can't guarantee it because I don't have any personal experience doing that.
You know, I don't think it matters whether it's Wi-Fi or a wired network. A network is pretty much a network, and I think that it should work. I know that the N3FJP will work over Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I just don't know if it would drag it down, you know, when it's Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. But I think it should be good because it's very,
robust.
I think that any of them are going to work the same. If one can be networked, I think that they all can, basically. But it's all preference. And guess what? When you're using XP, Windows 7, and 8.1, you never know what you're going to end up with. So you guys set up early just to make sure. That's my two cents. Okay, I have a couple other questions here. And N3ROC, I'm going to go ahead and take this question. He says, has there ever been field day games such as passing along a secret word or phrase to see how quickly it could get through North America, or is that just stupid? Well, first of all, no, that's not stupid at all. But make sure you guys know, every message that you send over NTS, you get points for. So try to send as much traffic as possible. With that, okay, Don, let me send this to you. This club is thinking of doing a QRP demo station at field day. They're thinking of running it on 3 or 4 different bands and probably with hamstick style antennas. Will they need to run 3 or 4 feed lines to the radio with a switch, or can they run one feed line?
I'm not sure if I understand the question. You're using different antennas with different With different radios?
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. I don't exactly understand the question, but I would think that I don't understand. George, any guidance on that? I'm not sure I understand the question.
I think, well, if I'm understanding it right, maybe they only have one transmitter. It's QRP, and okay. They're wanting to run three different antennas for three bands. I know fan dipoles can be built, you know, and so I would assume, maybe you could do this. There might be some interaction. But I would say if you're going to run QRP, if you can, you might consider throwing up a wire because with that low power, you know, any gain you can get out of the antenna is going to help you.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And that was KB3BYJ, by the way, asking that question. And let's see, we have news from the Dayton Amateur Radio Association. They are sending some guys over to Germany this year to operate for Field Day. I think that's pretty cool. I was trying to find out what call sign they would be operating under, but I have not found that out yet. So if you guys want more information, I'm sure just visit their website and that they will have the updates there. And one more time, well, we need to find out who everybody is operating as this weekend so we can make sure we say hello. So, Val, you go first, and then we'll send it to Don and then George. What's the call sign you'll be operating under?
This will be our 40th year using the call sign November 9 Alpha Whiskey.
Okay, and Don, what about you?
I'm trying to think. I think the club call is W5... PRC for Pearl River County, I think. Don't hold me to that, but I think that's what it is. It's if you Google the Pearl River County, Mississippi Amateur Radio Club, you'll find us.
Okay, that's good enough. And George?
Well, there's going to be three of us going out and doing it this year. We're not a club. We're just three individuals doing field day. And, you know, I wanted to make it fair and official. Tommy and I, we were going to use one of our call signs, so... just to be all on the up and up, I asked him to pick a number between 1 and 10. He chose 7, and I was thinking 5. So we flipped a coin, too. But we'll be using W5JDX, Whiskey 5, Jack Daniels X-Ray, my call.
Okay. And our club goes with what's easiest for CW. So we will be operating under November Charlie 0 Alpha, who happens to be one of the members of the club. And the CW guys love using it because evidently it's easy to send. So with that, that's about all the questions I have. Everyone is psyched, though, for field day, including me. I know Val is definitely. We love the outdoors. I know you guys down south, you deal with a lot of bugs down there. So I feel for you, but I'll send you some bug spray. any final comments there, George?
We've got bug spray. Send us some cold air. That's what we need.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's funny. Oh, I look forward to it. And I got so nervous this year. I found out, like, our sheriff is coming, the coroner, our county commissioner. I don't know how to react with this. I'm not that kind of person that can deal with those kind of uppity-ups, but I'm really excited that they have all managed to take the time out of their busy weekends to come out and see us operate, and hopefully we'll give them a good show on emergency operations and how we can set up in a hurry and help them out.
Hmm. Sheriff in the corner. Sounds like a typical weekend at my house.
All right.
Hey, George, look at this. I'm ready. Look, I'm ready. I got my... Wait. I'm not
what
ready.
What kind of coax is that, Don? Uh-oh.
That's DX Engineering coax. Thank you very much. That's what that is. That's the, I don't know what it is, but it's DX Engineering. It's got it's got lugs on it, so maybe I'm not quite ready. Back to the drawing.
The International Space Station is supposed to be accepting some field day contacts this year, so it looks like you're all set up for it.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of passes. There's a graphic going around. I've seen it on Facebook several times about a bunch of passes going around. At least I'm pointed in the right direction. I just got to get the coax worked out. That's all.
Are you guys going to operate 6 meters this weekend if it's open?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have the antenna for that, so we probably won't.
Sure we will, yeah. Looking forward to field day. Looking forward. Our time is just about up. Amanda, do you have anything else for us from the chat room?
I don't. Just a lot of people ready to get it rolling here. And I look forward to hearing everybody's results. I really hope all the bands stay open, and including 6 and 10. That way you can get some free contacts this weekend on 6 for sure. We do not have an antenna, but we're going to try to wing it. So also try to make those extra point contacts with solar, battery power, and satellites, and get some extra people out there to help you.
There you go. All right. I hope everyone's ready for field day. Valerie, thank you for all the great logging information. George, thank you for your stuff. And of course, Gordon and Amanda, thank you, too. After show nets, of course, there's the D-Star net on 14 Charlie. I'm going to check into that here. Moment, let me just throw my call out real quick. Momentarily here, we'll see what's going on with them. George, where are the rest of the nets? I know we've got the Dewdrop in on the Echolink, and where is that, and where are the other stuff?
Echolink net is going to be on Star, Dewdrop M Star, or node number 355-800. It looks like 20 meters is going to be on 14.268 tonight, which means I need to reach over here and tweak my radio a little bit. And 40 meters, I don't know. I didn't see it in the chat room, but I believe it will be somewhere around 7.278. 73. Yeah.
Probably the usual spot. 73, everybody, and I'm going to use that little thing, I think, here and get on the D-Start net. So, everybody, thanks for watching tonight. Amanda, thank you. Valerie, thank you. George, thank you. Gordon, thank you. Bob, we miss you, and we'll get back with Dale a little bit later on the videos and whatnot. But thank you all for making Ham Nation the huge success it is. We couldn't do it without you people out there watching and in the chat room and participating on the HF nets and all the other after show nets, whether they're digital or over the air. We appreciate every one of you. And thank you all from the whole crew, AE5DW, signing off from South Mississippi 73. Thanks for watching Ham Nation.
73, Don.
Good luck in the contest.